Just imagine, the mightiest heroes of our time.
All of them on one team.
The Fire and Water Network proudly presents
JLU Cast.
Hello and welcome to JLU Cast, a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. I'm one of your hosts, Cindy Franklin.
And I'm Chris Franklin. And for the first time in a while, Cindy and I are going solo, or is that duo? I guess duo. Our tour of Canada is over, with the last several episodes having Siskoid, Brian Hyler, and Ranger Gord. I never pointed that out, but then I'm like, everybody in the last guest slots have been from
Canadian.
Yeah. So, well, they're all nicer people.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Danny would live up there if we'd, you know, let her. Yeah. So.
Now, this time we're talking about JLU Season 2, Episode 9, Question Authority. This kicks off the four-part Cadmus arc finale, so you know you're in for a doozy with this one. So let's just jump right into it. Question Authority originally aired June 25th, 2005. Written by Dwayne McDuffie, so you know it's really good. Directed by Dan Ribba, so you know it's really good. Music by Lolita Ritmanis. In the cast, we had George Newbern as Superman. Jeffrey Combs as The Question. Amy Acker as The Huntress. Chris Cox as Captain Atom. Clancy Brown as Lex Luthor. Dana Delaney as Lois Lane. Robert Foxworth as Professor Hamilton. CCH Pounder as Amanda Waller. And J.K. Simmons as both General Eiling and Mantis.
Superman and Captain Atom send an invading Mantis back to Apokolips. While the Man of Steel takes some time for a date with Lois Lane, General Eiling informs Captain Atom his U.S. Air Force commission has been reactivated. Is that a thing? Can they do that?
I don't know.
While on their picnic, Lois questions the League's recent actions, such as the destruction of Lexor City and the giant laser cannon firing in the Arizona desert. Meanwhile, Huntress helps Question break into a government facility where he downloads some encrypted files that he hopes will link Lex Luthor to Cadmus. Speaking of Luthor, at Cadmus HQ, Professor Hamilton gives Lex a clean bill of health. Somehow, the cancer that was slowly killing him is gone, as if it never existed. Amanda Waller informs them both about the Question's theft of their files.
In his apartment, the Question breaks the encryption code and watches video of Superman from the Justice Lord's world murdering President Lex Luthor. Having been unresponsive for days, Huntress tracks him to his apartment, but Question is disheveled and more obsessive than ever. After he leaves in a hurry, she watches the video and learns why. On the Watchtower, Question confronts Superman with the knowledge that Superman and the Founding Leaguers kept from the world. He's convinced that events will soon play out the same on this world. Luthor will kill the Flash, Superman will kill President Luthor, resulting in a world-ending battle between the League and the U.S. government. Superman assures him that will never happen, but Question isn't listening.
He shows up at LexCorp Tower prepared to kill Luthor so that Superman won't be able to, and the Man of Steel's reputation will remain intact. Surprisingly, Lex tosses Question around like a rag doll. He takes him to Cadmus, where Dr. Moon tortures him with images of Amanda Waller's simulations of Flash and Lex's deaths and the Armageddon that follows. Huntress kidnaps Jimmy Olsen and uses his signal watch to get Superman's attention so that he will help her find the Question. When she suspects Cadmus, Superman reveals the League has always known where their secret base is. The two attack the base, but before finding the Question, Superman instead finds his old ally, Professor Hamilton. Hamilton tells Superman he voluntarily joined Cadmus after Superman threatened him following Darkseid's control of him. Superman and Huntress find the Question, but their exit is blocked by Captain Atom on orders from the government to stop the Question from escaping. He powers up his hand and asks Superman how he wants this to go down.
Yes. Oof. So we start out this episode with a scene that could have come from Superman the Animated Series. Metropolis under attack from a megalomaniacal villain with Lois and Jimmy there to report. So it's like, are we watching the right series?
Wait a minute. Especially with that haircut of Jimmy's. It's straight out of...
He's still got the mullet.
You know?
Yeah. Woo! He's still got the mullet. Yeah. Mantis monologues throws parts of the building at the crowd below, and Superman and Captain Atom arrive. Captain Atom vaporizes the chunk and asks Superman if the world be conquerors are getting mouthier. I love Superman's response. He's from Apokolips. They're all pretty chatty there.
You know.
Mantis is voiced here by J.K. Simmons, who we'll hear later in his regular role of General Eiling. Mantis is in his classic comic look, but I always liked his insectoid look that Jack Kirby redesigned for the Superpowers line better.
Well, I mean, if it's Kirby, it's better.
Yeah, well, Kirby designed the original.
I know.
But it's, you know, I just like the insectoid look. So, but, you know, That's just me. But that's where how I first met the character. So Mantis freezes Captain Atom in a block of ice, but Superman grabs him before he shatters in the streets below, and he also takes out a bunch of police cars when he does it. Then Mantis attacks Superman with electrical-type blast. Put a pin in that, of course.
Wonder why.
Yep. Captain Atom breaks free and joins in. Superman informs him that with the Civil War on Apocalypse, Mantis may have thought he'd have an easier time trying to conquer the Earth. I like that. That's a nice callback. Yeah. Because, you know, we saw that that's a running subplot that's, I mean, it's very, very, very far in the background. But that's what's going on in Apocalypse ever since Darkseid died in Twilight, mm-hmm. in the season two opener of Justice League. Yeah. And we saw this going on in the Ties That Bind, the Flash, Mr. Miracle, Big Bart episode earlier this season. Mantis is an energy vampire, so he flees into the subway and absorbs the electricity from the tracks. And I like how Superman isn't messing with this guy. He just activates the mother box on his hip, and Captain Atom blasts him through the opening boom tube.
Yeah.
But Superman is fond of taking powerful enemies and just dumping them into dimensional portals, too.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
Captain Atom wonders why he just won't turn around and come back. But Superman says, besides this, and he's got his mother box in his hand, and he crushes it. So, five-finger Kryptonian discount.
I know. He pickpocketed him.
Lois calls out to Superman, then slides down the handrail of the escalator in that little skirt of hers.
I know. I mean, free shot.
Yeah. I'm glad you said it, not me. I like their exchange.
Lois Lane, Daily Planet.
Yeah, Lois, I know.
I know. I mean, watch.
He kind of he chuckles when he says it, too. You know, I like that. Yeah. Captain Atom gets the idea that he's being a third wheel and takes off, and Superman and Lois go back and forth about him being late, but he was busy. Now she's filed a report so they can take off for their one-on-one interview.
Ooh.
As I've said before, he gives her every exclusive.
Ooh.
Captain Atom is flying off, but is called out by someone calling him Captain Adams, not Atom. It's General Wade Eiling who addresses him then as Captain Nathaniel Adams. So he's addressing him by name. Did you notice that Eiling is dressed now in a blue Air Force uniform?
I know.
And I'm pretty sure he was in brown, army khaki.
Yeah.
When we saw him before. But now he suddenly, it's like, in the comic books he's in the Air Force. But it's like they made him, like, they made him, like, part of the Army. Now he's back to being in the Air Force. I mean, I don't think that happens. I don't, even at a high level like him.
No, you don't switch branches.
You don't switch branches of the military. I mean, there may be some crossover between the Navy and the Coast Guard. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't, and possibly the Marines, but I don't think so.
No.
I don't think, definitely not between the Army and the Air Force. And if somebody knows Captain Entropy or somebody, let us know. Also, if they can just reactivate somebody. I mean, he might be in the reserve.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
But they shouldn't have called it reactivate, because that means, you know.
Yeah, well.
They should have said, we're calling on your reserve status rather than reactivate.
I'm just speaking as a non-military person, and my father was in the Army, but that was literally like 60 years ago.
Back in the 50s.
Early 60s.
Yeah.
But I'm just, you know, way before I was born. But, you know, I've seen other military-based TV shows and movies where they've reactivated somebody. I mean, even Bones, like, they drafted me, you know, in Star Trek The Motion Picture. So, in fiction anyway, if you operate at a certain level, they can reactivate you. So I guess that's what's happening here. I don't know. Somebody that knows more about this, let us know, and we won't ramble about it as much. So
yeah, we're already doing it, so you know.
Yeah. So Captain Adams says, I'm committed to the Justice League now, sir. And Eiling reminds him he also made a commitment to the service. Seems to me you've got a decision to make.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to the commercial, the title sequence. So after the break, we're back to Superman and Lois flying. She says it seems like she never sees him anymore, which is why he's making today special. But, you know, that would be, I mean, how is Superman, like, How often does Clark Kent show up at work these days?
I know. Well, he's on assignment?
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't know Clark Superman on here, which nowadays it's kind of weird. That she doesn't. Oh, yeah, this is when Lois didn't know that he was Superman. I've gotten so used to the other way around that I have a hard time, especially stuff I consider modern.
Right.
You know. But he takes her to the tower of a tall bridge, and Lois is a bit snarky about...
I know! They only have a little bit of time together, and she just goes straight into reporter mode.
Yeah, but she's snarky about them having a picnic. And she says, I suppose your high school sweetheart loved this cornball stuff. Ouch!
I know! I mean, he's making an effort.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, she did. I just want to say, you better watch it, Lois, because in his dream woman, and for the man who has everything... Might have sounded like you, but she looked like Lana.
Yep.
So, you know, his little high school sweetheart that liked picnics, I'm just saying, she's only a phone call away.
There's something to be said about high school sweethearts.
That's right.
Sometimes it works out.
Sometimes it does. Superman is pouring a 2-liter of Soda Cola, which was long established as a DC brand, I believe early in the post-crisis era Superman comics. And then Lois says she's been worried about him. When he points out the job is dangerous, he can take care of himself. She reminds him there are other ways to get hurt. And then she brings up how he was once controlled by Darkseid. And not everyone has forgotten that, despite it being years ago. And we'll talk to somebody who hasn't forgotten about it.
Yeah.
In just a little bit. Lois tells him that with all the muscle he and the League have, they're starting to scare even her.
Yes.
I think this is fascinating stuff. Lois has always been there to keep Superman on the ground and relate to a real human being, and she's really filling that role here.
Yes.
Yeah, she's kind of his Jiminy Cricket in this moment, you know? It's just like... Superman admits they have a lot of power, but they only use it to help. Lois reminds him of how he and Captain Marvel wrecked Lexor City on national TV. Or maybe you mean when you fired that big space gun in the desert. Yeah, as I said, Jiminy Cricket is ticking off all the sins committed this season.
I know. I mean... I get that it's shorthand and stuff like that, but, you know, I'm also like, you don't get to spend that much time together, but then you're taking the opportunity to take him to task, too.
Well, but, I mean, she's not doing it as a reporter. She's not going to write a story about it. She literally is, like, worried about him. So, I mean, and because she doesn't get to spend time with him, I guess she's like, well, this is my opportunity. I'm going to let him have it, you know? I mean, you know, I mean, I kind of get it, you know. And then Superman says, we come on a little strong sometimes, but it's for the people's own good. And then she says...
That sounds like something Lex would say.
Damn. Uh-huh. But when you go around saying, for the people's own good, that, I mean, you are literally, I am up here, you're uh-huh. down here, you know. Ugh, Superman tells her not to joke about that. He's nothing like Lex. She admits he's right. But she says the League can't serve the public without their confidence. It's a question of trust. Maybe Lois should run for office.
I know.
Then she kisses him. We didn't see much of that in Superman the Animated Series, only at the end of Legacy, when Superman was dealing with the fallout from that whole Darkseid debacle.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. And then she asks...
So what's for dessert?
And then we don't see them, Lois, for the rest of the episode, so we don't know what happened there. Maybe they went to the Italian villa, like in Superman and Lois or whatever.
Which made our daughter so very uncomfortable.
Well, the season finale of Superman and Lois upped the sex to, like...
I know!
From, like about a 4 to about a 20. It's just, like, I mean, it didn't show anything, but it was
had, let's see, 4 different couples...
Hooking up.
Yeah.
I know, it was like, wow, okay. We then abruptly cut to the Question hacking a computer in an office while Huntress fights off the security there. She wants to know when they're going on a real date. Maybe she'll like a picnic.
Yeah, see?
He shushes her because he's trying to concentrate. She tells him she's not even in the League anymore and he's lucky to have her along. Hardly. You're drawn to my eccentric charm. Well, it has to be something, you know? Huntress mops up the floor with the guards while Question finishes up. But she misses one, and he throws a monitor right in the guy's face.
Yeah.
It's like, ow. Jeez. Question believes he's downloaded a link to Luthor and Cadmus. She says that frees up their evening, but Question has 3 terabytes of data to go through, and that sounds so quaint now.
I know.
3 terabytes, yeah. She cuts him a look. Dinner and a movie?
It's a start.
All the women giving their men grief in this episode.
What? Keeping you honest, baby. Keeping you honest.
Yeah. There's kind of a nice juxtaposition here. I mean, the first couple of comics and the odd couple of comics.
Yeah.
I mean, woo. We then cut to a high-tech laboratory underneath an abandoned factory, and Professor Hamilton tells Lex he can take off the armor chest plate that has been keeping his cancer at bay, Tony Stark style.
Yes.
It's gone. Not in remission, but it's gone like it was never there. He tells him he's got the body of a 20-year-old and no cancer. Lex has a hard time believing it at first. Neither know how this happened. Hamilton theorizes it could have been the vest or the kryptonite poisoning itself has somehow reversed.
Right.
So, remember that. Amanda Waller walks in and tells Lex about Question and Huntress hacking into Cadmus' files. What did they get?
Maybe everything.
Yeah. Lex is actually worried and says for all their sakes, they better hope the encryption on the files is as good as they were told. This must be pretty bad for Lex to be this shaken, especially after the good news he just got.
Very true.
Yeah. We then cut to an apartment where Question is hacking into the files. Notice he didn't do this on the watchtower like he was doing before.
Right.
I mean, you know, he has a room at the watchtower, so. I do like how the computer flashes up, encryption cracked.
So, you know, Lex had a right to be worried.
Yeah, but I mean, it's funny that it's just like, you know, how computers act on TV shows, like, it comes in big letters, encryption cracked, you know?
Just yeah.
In case you're wondering, the folders that appear are temporal flux, I wonder if they meant it to be temporal, overload, para, in parentheses, multiverse, Pandora Project, President Luthor, Izer Shop, with a W, in a parentheses, Zarathustra, Gin Bottle, Strategium 5, Brazil Boys, Paradigm, ENG, in parentheses after that, and then Quantum Theory. He clicks President Luthor and sees these subfolders. Cause and Effect, Worldview, Voter Fraud, Casnia Crisis, in parentheses, possible, Rushmore-A.L, which I don't know what that means.
Abraham Lincoln?
Maybe. Comm Suppression, which I guess is Communication Suppression. Hirsute Act, Rev. Flashpoint, 23. That's going to come up later. Aztec, but not spelled like the character Aztec.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Like the Aztecs, but not spelled. It's like As and then T-E-C-H.
Like technology, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Metawar, D-E-C, like in December, I guess. DC Siege, 6 Hour. Oval Office, New Deal, 08. New Hampshire, REB, like I guess Rebellion. Could It, and then Q, in parentheses. Countermeasures, WC Scenario, and Conclusion. I mean, that might not mean anything to anybody, but I just thought I'd put it out there. Some of it sounds kind of cool. He clicks Oval Office, and while watching, his face glows red from the screen, and he just repeats, "Oh no, no, no." And we don't see what he's looking at.
No.
But we all kind of know what he's looking at based on if we've been following Justice League all this time. Next is daylight. He's still sitting there, all disheveled. He says, "It's all connected. No, not alternate reality. Time loop. Luthor becomes president. Flash is killed. Superman kills Luthor in retaliation. Superhuman arm race. Armageddon. End of the world. Inevitable." He punches his conspiracy corkboard, then ponders if history is immutable. Can it be changed? Will they allow it?
I know.
Huntress picks the lock and says he hasn't answered his phone for days. So he's been there for days.
Yes.
And she says,
"Oh, it's rank in here. Is that you?"
He's not bathed. Has he not taken care of other bodily functions? I mean, you kind of got to wonder. I mean, it's just like, ooh. He barely acknowledges her and says he had to go. He has to try and runs out. She's thinking this is nutty, even for him.
Right.
Huntress clicks on what he's been obsessing over and sees the video footage from the Oval Office on the Justice Lord's World from A Better World Part 1. Lex has his finger on the button and then tells Superman he'll never use deadly force to stop him. He then goads him by telling him he's practically his accomplice because he always has to be the hero. Then Superman's eyes glow red and Huntress responds, "Oh my, commercial break, yikes."
Uh-huh.
But I got a question. Was this footage from that world, or was it one of these simulations?
Oh, that's true.
Because they mentioned the simulations later, but I assume this has to be real footage, or why would even Question get this obsessive?
Uh-huh.
And the depowered Justice Lords were taken into custody at the end of A Better World Part 2. Did they mention this to the U.S. government, what had actually happened on their world? Did they swap video for some kind of plea bargain?
Right.
We never see if they were incarcerated here in the normal Justice League
in
world.
Prime Earth.
There you go. Or sent back home somehow.
Right.
So, where did they get this from? We then cut to the Watchtower in Aztec, the superhero, and Steel are working on some equipment. Aztec actually speaks, which is not something I thought he ever did on here.
I know.
According to IMDb, Captain Atom actor Chris Cox provides his voice here.
Oh, there you go.
He tells Superman, who's holding up this massive piece of tech, that they're almost finished, and Superman steals Captain America's line by saying, "I can do this all day."
I can do this all day.
We watched the Rogers musical from Disneyland. There's a YouTube video out. They actually have Rogers the musical at Disneyland now.
I mean, oh my.
Yeah, it's cute. It's pretty cheesy, but it's cute.
Oh, it's cringy, but if you get enjoyment out of watching cringy stuff, you will enjoy this.
But I think I would enjoy it in person.
I know, but I'm just saying,
it's well done. It's well done cringe. It's not bad.
No,
it's like,
no.
It's corny on purpose.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun, yeah. Question walks under this massive weight, like underneath, like basically... Right in front of tons of material, equipment. Yeah. And Superman, he stares at Superman. Superman says, "Something I can help you with?" I like how even Superman is put off by Question's eccentric charm.
Yeah, there you go.
And he says, "I hope so, but I assume you don't want to discuss your White House weenie roast in front of a crowd." Like, whoa. Superman drops the equipment, tells him he'll be back in a few, and walks past the Shining Knight. I just always had to point out we see Shining Knight.
I know.
He takes Question into a room he'd always wondered about. Private conference room. Original members only, yes. A place where you're free to discuss your secrets and lies.
Wow.
Yeah. He's jumping right to it. I mean, but it perfectly fits with the conspiracy nut persona they've developed. And he's not afraid of provoking Superman, despite what he's seen him, quote-unquote,
right.
Do. The scene between them is so intense and well-written and well-acted. I normally don't do this, but rather than have us stumble all over it, I'm just going to play it here.
You said something about me in the White House.
Not you exactly. Another version of you. Hmm?
Stop dancing around it. Tell me what you know.
I know what you told everyone. The Justice Lords, a parallel universe version of the Justice League, came to our world to rid it of crime just as they did on their own world. With Lex Luthor's help, our Justice League managed to rout them before they could impose their totalitarian will on our populace. I also know what you didn't tell anyone outside of the original seven members of the Justice League. On that other Earth, so very much like our own, a Superman so very much like you killed the president.
Question. No one can know about this.
Or what? You'll incinerate me too?
I'd never do anything like that.
Wouldn't you? Didn't you recently try to lobotomize Doomsday with your heat vision just as the Justice Lord did?
That's different.
It's the same. A heavily armed watchtower with an army of proactive heroes. Luthor running for president, if it's not quite the same. It soon will be. Have you seen Amanda Waller's computer simulations?
Batman told me about them.
Did he tell you all the models predict that a war between the Justice League and the government will devastate the planet?
We would never fight the government.
Not even if Luthor was the government? Predestined. Flash will die. You will kill Luthor. Armageddon. Inevitable.
Question. I'm worried about you. You're mixed up. This world isn't like the other one. We're not the Justice Lords. Those things you're afraid of will never happen here. I won't let them.
So everything's been building. It's all laid out on the table here. Mm-hmm. And we learned that the Justice League didn't share the whole incinerating the president part with anybody beyond the original seven members.
No.
When Question tells him he knows that the other Superman killed Luthor, Superman crushes the back of the metal chair his hand is resting on.
I know.
So what motivated this? Is it just hearing this? Is it the thought that the last leaguer you would want to learn this, now knows it? What do you think?
I honestly think it's Superman being confronted like, I don't want anybody to know this about me.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, or about where I could possibly go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. As you heard earlier, Superman tells him no one can know about this. Or what, you'll incinerate me too? I think the question fully believes Superman may do this. So he's got some serious balls confronting him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, then he brings up lobotomizing Doomsday. Whew, oh boy.
I know.
Superman says it's different, and he says it's the same. He mentions a heavily armed watchtower and an army of proactive superheroes. But we didn't see a Justice League Unlimited on the Justice Lord's world.
No.
Was it there and we were just focusing on the original seven? Obviously, this was before the JLU concept was conceived, so it's retroactive if they were supposed to have an army of superheroes right. on that world. But, it's kind of weird because Question mentions Waller's simulations, which have the League going to war with the U.S. government, and that devastates the planet. But the way the episode plays out A Better World is, I understand that the government didn't put up much of a fight against the Justice Lords. They just took over.
Right.
I mean, everything seemed very peaceful.
But maybe that was the aftermath.
Yeah, but it's like, I would have thought all that devastation would have come up and, you know.
But honestly, if you had superheroes, there really wouldn't be much devastation. It would be...
Yeah, but I mean, the simulations show like nuclear... events happening later. We'll see like nuclear explosions going off from like the, you know, out in outer space. You can see them like going off everywhere. So it's like, I just, it doesn't line up with what, because on the, I mean, I remember the U.S. president like calling Superman saying, can we have elections this year? And it looked like George W. Bush because he was president at the time. And he's like, I don't know if you guys are ready for that yet. You know, remember that? It seemed like a much more like,
totalitarian.
Yeah, placid takeover. Like, they took over and everybody's like, oh, okay, well, hopefully this will work out all right. You know, it's just like, you know.
But that might, you know, the simulations, because Waller is informed about that, those are the simulations.
They might fight back.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Because they're building up in anticipation of this.
Right.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, all right. So this timeline might be diverging from here. So
because of the and.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah. Superman says they would never fight the government, not even if Luthor was the government. You know, so right. like that. Superman tries to grab his shoulder, and he violently pulls away. Superman says he's worried about him. You're mixed up. That's some great technical medical diagnosis there, Superman.
But, you know, he's not a doctor.
He's not a doctor, yeah.
Not here. This isn't the Golden Age.
Right. Right. And all the knowledge to do whatever. Superman tells him he won't let those things happen here. And Question just stares at him for what seems like eternity and then walks away. Which, we'll get back to that.
Well, and I think that's, you know, Question's looking at Superman, but he's coming to a resolution about, well, if I can't reach Superman, then he's got to take matters into his own hands, and then we get this.
Yeah, we cut to LexCorp Tower, and Lex has an unexpected guest waiting at his desk. Lex smiles and addresses him and says, I believe you took something that belongs to me.
Yep.
Question tosses a newspaper towards him and tells him the latest polls show that it looks like Lex will be the next president, just like in that other world. Lex sits on the edge of his desk and says, I wouldn't bet against me. And he's just ear-to-ear grinning the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's not even fazed by this. Question then tells him that his distaste for him is Brobdingnagian in proportions. What he's about to do isn't personal. I had to look up Brobdingnagian up. I didn't know what that meant. It means gigantic. So.
Well, there you go.
And the only reason I caught what he said is because when I was doing the notes, I had the captions on.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm like, what did he just say? He then spouts very Ditko-esque objectivist philosophy, saying A is A. After creating the question for Charlton, Ditko went even further with his Ayn Rand beliefs and created the self-published character of Mr. A, who was like the question on steroids when it came to this stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. To him, the question, Luthor is Luthor no matter the universe. He gets up and starts to take off his tie and tells him if he's going to save the world, Luthor's existence must come to an end. So he is going to, like, strangle him to death.
Well, I wanted to talk about this. This is one of those things, and I mean, you're seeing this more and more in a lot of time travel stuff, and it kind of makes you wonder. You know, like, even in Star Trek, the latest Star Trek episode, which, spoilers, by the way.
The Strange New World.
Strange New World, so spoilers. You have this thing where, there are certain events that are going to happen no matter which world they're in, which timeline they're in.
Yeah.
And I think that you've got part of that with this. He's like, okay, if this, you know, this is going to happen, this is going to, you know, it's just what happens. It doesn't matter which timeline you're in or which world you're on. There are certain things that will happen, period.
Yeah. It's like,
And I mean, that seems to have come to the forefront probably within the last 20 years or so. You know, it used to be when you were reading time travel fiction that you could diverge off and make completely different choices and different things. But in the last, say, 15, 20 years, if you look at the fiction that has been created regarding time travel, you have a shift in theory that now there are certain things that are going to happen no matter what changes you incur.
I think that probably is a development from the idea of a focal point in time, which was like things like In the City on the Edge of Forever, mm-hmm. that like Edith Keeler was a focal point in time. But now there's things that are like, and Doctor Who had a term, Doctor Who fans are screaming at me, but I know they had, there were certain things that they could not change.
Yeah.
That they would not change no matter what you did. If you tried to change it, it would correct itself and still happen.
Right.
And so that, and I think a lot of that came in recent years from Doctor Who and the popularity of Doctor Who coming back. That's me. That's, you know, with the...
But, I mean, because I like time travel stuff.
Yeah.
And I have seen that shift happen within, say, the last 15 to 20 years.
Well, and there's a lot of different...
And, I mean, yes, there's always been part of that, but it seems like that's more of what the belief is currently.
Well, it's kind of funny, too, because, you know, you have your superhero tentpole movies like, you know, Endgame basically says, yeah, Back to the Future time travel doesn't, that's not how time travel works.
Right, right.
I mean, they even joke about it. But then the Flash movie, I know, you know, went over like a lead balloon, I know, but it actually, you know, kind of says, no, that's wrong. This is how time travel works.
Right.
So, I mean, it's all subjective, but it's like every time travel story is now influenced by the previous time travel story to a point, which is kind of funny. But it's like, yeah, so question thinks, you know, if I take Luther out, he's the thing I've got to eliminate him from the scene. I mean, it's to him, it's very, even though, like you said, he can't stand Luthor, he loathes him, but he would not kill him. If not for the fact he firmly believes by killing Luthor, then he can stop all this from happening. You know, Lex seems unfazed even though he knows Question is going to kill him, so Superman can't. And I love what Question says. I'm a well-known crackpot. The Justice League's reputation will survive my action, and Superman's legacy will remain intact. So,
yeah,
he knows that he is, like, on the edge
of the bubble.
And so... I wonder, though, is Superman not acting like traditional Superman something that is violating his A-as-A sensibilities? He's willing to sacrifice his own freedom and possibly his life just to ensure Superman's reputation is secure because that's what spins the world into chaos.
Right.
So I think that's interesting because if A is A, Superman's acting like B. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Superman's kind of... It's not really out of character as we... You know, in this episode kind of starts to go a long way saying, you know, no, I...
It's not out of the realm of possibility for Superman Prime to do this.
Well, no, not to do... No, I don't agree with that. I honestly don't think this Superman would have ever killed Luthor. I think he would have found a different way to do it. I don't...
Not that he would do it, but that he could see why it would happen. You know,
right.
not that he would reject it out of hand, be like... Well, that would solve my problems, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, he's...
I'm not saying he would actually
do
it.
We even get... I mean, I'm not going to spoil anything, but we get a line at the end of this where he says something like, you know, I wish I was that guy. Part of me wishes I was that guy.
Right.
You know? I think his reasoning, and I think, like, what he said to Lois, yes, if he hears himself say it, It does sound kind of totalitarian and a little bit fascist, but you know it's coming from the right place. But we'll see. Again, this episode, this whole season is so very dense and very, very. It's very layered, very well written. with lots of, you know, I mean, you question characters' motivations, you question authority, you question, you know, all of this, but, and you question, like, why is Superman, like, being this way? But, again, this is Superman who has, as Batman said, been wound up like a
tin soldier
and set loose on the world once already. And so, yeah, it's it makes me wonder, did the Justice Lord Superman, was he taken over by Darkseid?
Yeah.
Or did he not suffer that, and that's why he did what he did?
Oh.
They never said that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Lex tells him it's an interesting plan, but unfortunately for him, it's not really an option. Question has his tie at neck level in both fists. Kid's cartoon. He's about to strangle somebody.
Uh-huh.
And Lex punches him clear across his massive office. He cracks the giant shark tank Lex has built into the walls, because of course he does.
Well, yeah.
Because he's Lex Luthor. Lex tells him his presidential campaign is a farce and just a part of a much grander scheme. Question tries to fight back, but Luthor grabs him by the throat and smacks him around. Do you know how much power I'd have to give up to be president? Just what does Lex have in mind here?
I know.
You know, of course we know, but you know. That's right, conspiracy buff. I spent $75 million on a fake presidential campaign just to tick Superman off.
Yeah.
And Clancy Brown, of course, is wonderful in these scenes. And Jeffrey Combs is just, he is on fire, you know, as the question. So this is a great confrontation. The amount of hatred Lex feels for Superman is just galactic.
Yeah.
Or Brobdingnagian. He throws Question through his desk. Lex keeps looking at his hand, somewhat puzzled, like, how am I doing this?
But he's
smiling. You know, he's, how am I this strong? But he doesn't question enough to stop. No, he's going to beat the stuffing out of him. He leans over and asks again about the files Question stole as we fade to black again. We then see, in front of a waving American flag, Lex being sworn in, a beaten Flash being brought to him by soldiers, and Lex cocking a shotgun and pointing it toward Flash's
head. I'm surprised that they got away with this.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
You see the Flash, you see the shadow of the gun comes closer, but it's still.
Oh, yeah.
An angry Superman, who's in black and white, turns, and his eyes go red, and the White House erupts in an explosion, and we pan out to nuclear explosions going off worldwide. This is all in the Question's mind as he is strapped to a table, wired up to gizmos, and getting electrified. Put a pin in that.
Yes.
Then we meet the man in torturing Question. This is Dr. Moon, also voiced by Jeffrey Combs.
Oh, okay.
Which is interesting. Dr. Moon is a utility mad scientist, originally created by Denny O'Neil and Irv Novick in Batman number 240, March 1972. O'Neil then used him in Wonder Woman and Richard Dragon Kung Fu Fighter, other titles he was writing. Then he popped up in Batman and the Outsiders, Detective Comics, Suicide Squad, Firestorm, and Action Comics, and he's been around ever since. He got around a lot.
Yes.
His part in the story was originally written for Hugo Strange, who we previously seen in Doomsday Sanction, but despite being a Batman the Animated Series character, he was now off limits due to the Batman Animated Series, The Batman, not the Matt Reeves, Robert Pattinson movie, but the Animated Series.
Right.
And on that series, he was voiced by Frank Gorshin.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Moon is making questions see all of those horrible images, but he can make them stop if he'll tell him what he's learned from their files. But, I mean, he's kind of showing him.
Right.
So it's like, well, you're showing him what he learned from the
files. Right.
So.
Or, because you're torturing him, are you putting those images in his head, and that's what he's going to tell you? So, to me, it would affect, you know,
yeah.
even if he were to talk.
It's kind of weird. Instead, Question starts babbling conspiracy speak, talking about how fluoride doesn't prevent tooth decay, but makes teeth detectable by spy satellite. Plastic tips at the end of shoelaces are called aglets, and they have a sinister purpose.
Who wants to know what the purpose is?
I do, too. Yeah, I do. There was a magic bullet forged by Illuminati mystics.
Oh.
So, the Illuminati killed JFK, according to the Question. Each time Moon turns up the juice, and Question just spouts out more unrelated theories. So, Moon says, have it your way. This will continue until I break you. Perhaps even afterwards.
Ugh.
Yikes. I love the visual of the Question being tortured reflected in Moon's dark glasses. Great work, Dan Ribba.
Oh, yeah.
And the storyboards.
Of course.
Superman is flying through Metropolis and picks up the hypersonic signal of Jimmy's signal watch. When he arrives at the source, he finds the Huntress holding it.
Yep.
She's got Jimmy strapped to a chair with tape over his mouth, but she says he's fine. You guys need a hotline. That takes balls, kidnap Superman's pal.
Yeah. But, you know, she wants her question.
Yeah.
And she's willing to do whatever to get... I mean, what do you think I would do if somebody took you?
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Jimmy looks pissed and he is mumbling, but Superman says, "A minute, Jimmy." Poor Jimmy. He never gets any respect.
I know.
Even from Superman. You wonder, did Superman on time or did they fly off after that?
Yeah.
Huntress tells him the question has been missing for a week. She also tells him she saw a fake tape of Superman killing Luthor, and that's when he ran off. Now, given what the question knew and the state he was in, why didn't Superman keep tabs on him for a week?
Yeah.
A whole week. Did he feel like he would be behaving exactly how Question feared if he observed him or detained him? You know?
Or, you know, Question is a crackpot. Did he just dismiss him out of hand?
Maybe he did.
You know?
Yeah. I don't think he would, knowing what he knew.
I just don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, you know, based on the history of this show and the characters and where this is going to go, why didn't he have Batman tail him?
Yeah.
If he wanted to, you know... Because Batman could tail him without even a question, even knowing Batman's tailing him. So, kind of weird. But Superman tries to call him on the League earpiece. The channel's open, but he's got no response. They find his comm link in a garbage dump, and Huntress fears the worst and begins digging for his body. And she's like, "I'll find you, baby." You know.
Yeah.
So, but Superman tells her if they dump the comm link there, they must have him alive. Huntress says it must be Cadmus, but they'll never be able to find him. Then Superman drops the bomb that they've known where Cadmus has been for months.
Yeah.
So they've been keeping tabs on him.
Right, but he's like, you know, we're gathering evidence before,
yeah,
you know.
We don't.
But they want to be above reproach.
Yeah, we're the Justice League. Yeah. We don't just rush in and, you know. Which is kind of interesting because Superman wanted to go grab Lex for the kryptonite theft. And, and you know, Batman's like, since when do you just run off without evidence, you know, and all this stuff. So Superman's kind of learning lessons as he's going along here, yeah. He says, and we'll move within the limits of the law. Now, that sounds more like the Superman we know and love.
Right.
So, she says, that's why I quit. And Superman reminds her she was fired. But you may have a point this time. So they're going to do this together off the books. So much for what he said about the law.
Yeah, you know, when it suits his purposes.
Yeah. We then cut to the factory with sirens blaring and armed soldiers waiting behind a blast door. Superman rips it like paper and just walks toward them with Huntress directly behind him. It kind of like... that scene in Rogue One, except he's not killing everybody. You know? It's like where Darth Vader walks in, you're like, oh, shit. Now they're past the lead shielding. He thinks he can probably find Question. Superman melts their guns and tells Huntress he didn't want her to get hit by a ricochet. I love this next bit. The soldiers charge at him. Huntress is ready with her bow staff. But they just pile on Superman in a cluster. They're like, they jump up on his shoulders. They grab his legs. They're just like, it's like dog pile on Superman. He merely flexes and they go flying off.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. Yeah, that's great. He doesn't want to hurt anybody, so he's just like, get away. You know, just like swatting a fly away, you know, just like shooing it away or something. Yeah. Huntress is taking care of the guards while Superman searches, and then he spots something. He tells her, hold the fort. I've got some personal business. He busts through several layers of walls and finds his old friend and confidant, Emil Hamilton.
Yeah.
Superman tells him a lot of things are starting to make sense now, and Superman wants to know when Cadmus recruited him, but he tells him he went to them.
Yeah.
Superman asks if he knows who he's working for, and Hamilton says power brokers, politicians, criminals, and black ops mercenaries with one thing in common, besides they're humanity's last hope against your kind. It's like, ouch.
Wow. Yeah.
Hamilton tells him he once thought of Superman as a guardian angel, but Lucifer was an angel too.
Yeah.
And then he reminds Superman of how he threatened him when he brought Supergirl to Star Labs during the Legacy two-parter at the end of Superman the Animated Series. And, of course, Superman is enraged. One little scare and you betray us? You stole Kara's DNA, violated her trust, my trust. And then he responds, the chicken or the egg, Superman.
I know. I mean...
And he's got a point.
I mean,
Superman did turn against the world. Superman did threaten... Hamilton, when he came in, I think his eyes went red, if I remember right. You know, you're gonna help her because, you know, she was dying. They had fired on Supergirl, and they helped her, but that's how they got her DNA. And I mean, and at the, like we said, Hamilton, they're interviewing people at the end of that episode, and people are giving their opinion on Superman now, and even Hamilton says, I just don't know how I feel about him. I feel like I can trust him anymore. So. Superman walks off, and Hamilton nearly collapses from fear. He just, like, bends over, like,
yeah.
I think he better change his pants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Superman comes back, and Huntress is just finishing up. What does she say?
Next time, go to the bathroom before you leave for a mission.
Superman doesn't even acknowledge. He said, let's go.
Yeah.
Just like, they find the question, burst into the lab, and Moon pulls a gun. Superman tells him not to be stupid and drop it, which I like.
Yeah.
He eventually does, but that's not good enough for the Huntress. She punches Moon to the ground and then pulls a crossbow on him. Superman calls her down as he's framed question from the apparatus, and she hesitates, but she eventually agrees to let him live.
Yeah, so. I'd have shot him anyway.
But then she would have had to deal with Superman being, you know, after her, so... Question is leaning on Huntress, still babbling about conspiracies like secret messages hidden in breakfast bars.
Bless him.
Superman tells her he'll take care of the guards, but she needs to be ready to move the question. Then Captain Atom shows up and says, that won't be necessary, Superman. Superman greets him and tells him to cover their flank, but the captain tells them they misunderstand him. He's here as an Air Force officer, ordered by General Eiling to keep the question from being taken from the facility. His hands glow with energy and he asks, so how's this going to go down? We get a nice close-up of an angry Superman and a very determined Captain Atom, and a heck of a cliffhanger.
Right.
So, whew, yeah, things getting spicy.
I mean, the thing is, though, while Captain Atom is a heavy hitter, Superman?
Yeah, but Captain Atom's nuclear-powered, too, so. So let's jump in our superlatives.
Power action feature.
For power action feature, what did you have?
I mean, to me, it's one of those things when Superman flexes and then they just go, fling.
Yeah, I had the same one. Yeah.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. I mean, if we were going to give it to the villains, Lex's unexpected beatdown of the question, you know, and if almost Leaguers, the Huntress has some really cool action moves.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole Superman thing's it's just great. I love it, you know.
Or what about when Question throws the monitor at that guy at the end?
Oh, yeah, that's good too.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. Yeah, there's some great action beats in this one.
Rotating chairperson.
A rotating chairperson. Who'd you have for this one?
I mean, to me, I would have to go with Huntress.
Oh, really?
Because she doesn't care if, you know, she doesn't care if Question is a crackpot or whatever. She's going to support him. She's going to take care of him. That is her mission.
Okay.
So.
You know, I mean, again, this is a great showcase for Jeffrey Combs as a Question. His name's in the title, but just behind him for me is George Newbern's Superman, because everyone is confronting him with his actions of late, but we're starting to see that he's still our Superman. You know, we're starting to, it's being brought up, but he's like saying, I'm not going to do that. That's not me. And he's kind of like, you know, the fact that they knew where Cadmus was and they didn't do anything about it. They were trying to, you know, now they are, but you know, Cadmus has crossed the line by, you know, abducting one of their members. So, you know, it's kind of coming around. But I still probably have to give it to the Question.
But, I mean, do you see why I picked the 100%?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Justice League Communicator.
For Justice League Communicator, what do you have?
Probably where she's like...
Next time, go to the bathroom before you leave for a mission.
Let's go.
That's a good one. I like that one. We already played it, but... I think the scene where Question confronts Superman is just brilliant. The Lex Question moment is great too, but I mean, this, whoever would have thought that the Question is kind of our point of view character in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which is like, especially because he's such a nutbar, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's coming at it from, you know, you're acting, you know, the way you're acting, the way things are going, this is all going to go wrong if, you know, I've got to step in and do this.
Right.
So it's kind of, interesting to have him in that way.
Comic connections.
For comic connections, there may be a vague comic connection in the title referencing Wildstorm's The Authority comic, a Justice League type group who take a more, let's say, proactive approach to influencing their world. So maybe a little bit. Other than that, it's more of a DCAU callback show from Hamilton in the animated series finale to, of course, A Better World with the Justice Lords in the Justice League series. And then, you know, we do get Dr. Moon, you know, but he was just dropped in because they couldn't use Hugo Strange.
Right.
So.
Electricity is evil.
Superman and Captain Atom get zapped by Mantis, but clearly it's Dr. Moon.
Oh, yeah.
Electrifying the question over and over again. I mean, it's woo. And it's a very sadistic one, you know.
Yes.
But woo. So what did you think of this one overall?
I mean, it's setting up that arc. You're starting to see those dominoes start to fall.
Yeah. Yeah. We're deep in the forest here. The themes the series has been exploring all along, particularly this season, are coming to a head. The question is willing to murder a man in cold blood to avert disaster. This is very heavy stuff, but it's never too morose or unentertaining.
Yeah.
Things like the Huntress's line and stuff keep it, add just enough levity to make it palatable.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, it never becomes just dark and just unrelenting, you know. That balance is rarely achieved. But big props to the always excellent Dwayne McDuffie and Dan Ribba for pulling this one off so well.
Mm-hmm.
And we're off to a great start for this four-part finale here.
Special thanks to our Patreon supporters. For information on how you can support the Fire and Water Podcast Network, visit patreon.com/FWPodcast.
Our patrons, you know, if you're a patron, you get to participate in fun things like polls and things we do. Like, I put one up the other day because, you know, they announced that we have a new Superman and Lois Lane for the upcoming James Gunn Superman Legacy film. David Cornsweet and Rachel Brosnahan have been cast as Superman and Lois. So I asked our patrons, who's your favorite screen Superman live action?
So far.
So far. Yeah, so far. And right now, the poll's still going, but just so you know, right now, Christopher Reeve is in the lead at 70%, not surprising, but who's after Christopher Reeve is surprising. Right now, number two spot goes to Tyler Hoechlin from Superman and Lois.
Right.
He's at 9%. And then at the third place goes to George Reeves from, of course, Adventures of Superman at 7%. And then Henry Cavill at 5%. And then Bob Holliday from the musical, Dean Cain, Tom Welling, and Brandon Routh are all tied at 2%.
There you go.
Right now, neither of the Superboys from the 80s, 90s Superboy TV series or Kirk Allen have any votes. So, but if you're a patron, you can vote on things like this and have fun. And we're having a fun discussion in the comments below about the poll. And we'll probably do one about who's your favorite Lois Lane and maybe who's your favorite Clark Kent, too, because some people are like, well, I like Christopher Reeve is Superman, but he's Clark Kent's too broad for me and things like that, you know. So, you know, so it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
So, extra special thanks to Jorge Luis Castillo, Matt Ryan, Neil Whitney, Jeff Owens of the Classic Horrors Club podcast, David Capone, and Rocket Dan Johnson, who specifically support JLUcast. So, could you guys please go to Question's apartment, bring lots of Febreze? It needs to be cleaned. Kind of like, you know, when we brought Andrew home from Boy Scout camp that first time.
Oh, my God.
Remember that? He was, what, 11, 12 years old? Oh, my gosh. Just imagine a little boy just going, starting to go through the change and, you know.
Is he going through menopause? What?
Starting to go through puberty, smart ass. Starting to go and had not bathed. We're pretty sure he had not showered all week long. We literally were coming down the road. And it was pouring rain, and we still rode with the windows down.
On the interstate,
because it was that bad.
Yeah. Woo. But anyway, next time it's part two of the finale to the Cadmus arc with Flashpoint. No, not that Flashpoint. The good one. See you then. Bye.
Bye.
JLUcast is a Franklin & Franklin production in association with Bugaloo Enterprises worldwide and is a proud member of the Fire & Water Podcast Network. The characters and properties mentioned in this show are copyright their respective holders. Likewise, all audio clips are copyright their holders, and no infringement is implied. So please don't sue Mommy and Daddy. Emails can be sent to supermatespodcast@gmail.com. Comments can be left at fireandwaterpodcast.com. Find us on Facebook by searching for JLUcast and FW Podcast Network. Follow us on Twitter by using the hashtag FW Podcast. Please consider leaving us a review on iTunes. Thank you for listening to JLUcast.
I want you to understand something, Luthor. Although my distaste for you as a human being is Brobdingnagian, what I'm about to do isn't personal.
What are you babbling about?
Everything that exists has a specific nature. Each entity exists as something in particular and has characteristics that are part of what it is. A is A. And no matter what reality he calls home, Luthor is Luthor. If I'm to save the world, your existence must come to an end before you take office.
You're going to kill me so that Superman can't.
I'm a well-known crackpot. The Justice League's reputation will survive my actions, and Superman's legacy will remain intact.
Interesting plan. Unfortunately for you, it's not really an option.